Chapter 26. Every morning, including Saturdays and Sundays, Admiral Sandecker jogged the 6 miles from his Watergate apartment to the NUMA headquarters building. He had just stepped out of the bathroom shower adjoining his office when his secretary's voice came over a speaker above the sink. "Admiral, Mr. Emmett is here to see you." Sandecker was vigorously toweling his hair, and he was not sure he heard the name right. "Sam Emmett, as in FBI?" "Yes, sir. He asked to see you immediately. He says it's extremely urgent." Sandecker saw his face turn incredulous in the mirror. The esteemed director of the FBI did not make office calls at 8 in the morning. The Washington bureaucratic game had rules. Everyone from the president on down abided by them. Emmett's unannounced visit could only mean a dire emergency. Send him right in. He barely had time to throw on a terry cloth robe, his skin still dripping, when Emmett strode through the door. "Jim, we've got a hell of a problem." Emmett didn't bother with a preliminary handshake. He quickly laid his briefcase on Sandecker's desk, opened it, and handed the admiral a folder. "Sit down and look this over, and then we'll discuss it." Sandecker was not a man to be shoved and ordered around, but he could read the tension in Emmett's eyes, and he did as he was asked without comment. Sandecker studied the contents of the folder for nearly 10 minutes without speaking. Emmett sat on the other side of the desk and looked for an expression of shock or anger. There was none. Sandecker remained enigmatic. At last he closed the folder and said simply, "How can I help?" "Find the Eagle." "You think they sank her?" "An air and surface search has turned up nothing." "All right, I'll get my best people on it." Sandecker made a movement toward his intercom. Emmett raised his hand in a negative gesture. "I don't have to describe the chaos if this leaks out. I've never lied to my staff before." "You'll have to keep them in the dark on this one." Sandecker gave a curt nod and spoke into the intercom. "Sylvia, please get Pitt on the phone." "Pitt?" Emmett inquired in an official tone. "My special projects director. He'll head up the search." "You'll tell him only what's necessary." It was more an order than a request. A yellow caution light glimmered in Sandecker's eyes. "That will be at my discretion." Emmett started to say something, but was interrupted by the intercom. "Admiral?" "Yes, Sylvia." "Mr. Pitt's line is busy."
"Keep trying until he answers," Sandecker said gruffly. "Better yet, call the operator and cut in on his line. Tell her this is a government priority."
"Will you be able to mount a full-scale search operation by evening?" asked Emmett. Sandecker's lips parted in an all-devouring grin.
"If I know Pitt, he'll have a crew scanning the depths of the Potomac River before lunch."
Pitt was speaking to Hiram Yeager when the operator broke in. He cut the conversation short and then dialed the admiral's private line. After listening, without doing any talking for several moments, he replaced the receiver in its cradle. "Well?" asked Cascio expectantly.
"The money was exchanged, never deposited," Pitt said, looking miserably down at the floor.
"That's all. That's all there is. No thread left to pick up." There was only a flicker of disappointment in Cascio's face. He'd been there before. He let out a long sigh and stared at his watch. He struck Pitt as a man drained of emotional display.
"I appreciate your help," he said quietly.
He snapped his briefcase shut and stood up.
"I'd better go now. If I don't lag, I can catch the next flight back to L.A.
I'm sorry I couldn't provide an answer." Cascio shook Pitt's hand in a tight grip. "Nobody scores 100% every time. Those responsible for the death of my daughter and your friend have made a mistake. Somewhere, sometime, they overlooked a detail. I'm glad to have you on my side, Mr. Pitt. It's been a lonely job until now." Pitt was genuinely moved.
"I'll keep digging from my end. I couldn't ask for more."
Cascio nodded and then walked down the stairs. Pitt watched him shuffle across the hangar floor, a proud, hardened old man battling his own private windmill.